You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio. All right, so day two, MJ BizCon. Man, a lot of people were partying already the first day. There were actually speaker panels and things going on for 2 days before that. So a lot of people were already here in Vegas, rolling to different things. We're going to give a shout out to Grasslands for the cool party that they threw last night. I know that tonight we got High Time. Shout out to them throwing a cool party. And a bunch of other people that were throwing stuff last night. Willie's Reserve, shout out to Elizabeth and all those guys doing their things. And definitely a lot of shit going on. We got 25,000 people walking around the floors. And then we got people hanging out in all the hotels doing business and taking care of all that stuff. But we got a packed schedule today. And I'm real happy to start off my day waking and baking with my boy John Hiltz from Indiva. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great.
You just flew in. Where are you from?
I'm from Canada.
That's where Indiva shout is. Shout out to my Canadian brothers from another mother who are one of the largest legal countries on the planet right now. Absolutely setting the mark. I wouldn't have maybe done some of the things that they're doing, but it's all right. We'll let it slide.
Neither would I, but we still got legal weed, so I gotta be grateful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, man. So that's cool. Let me ask you, before we get into all this madness of what is Indiva and what it is you guys do, I always wonder, what did you do before cannabis and getting into this industry?
Well, I was a television producer for 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Television producer. Tell me about this.
I started out in Canada as a producer doing basically shows for Canadian TV networks.
Okay, let's give a shout out to some of those networks.
Okay, well, the guys who launched my career, it's a gay network, actually.
All right, shout out to my gay brothers out there,
there
listening
you go.
And smoking some weed, you know what I mean? To listen to this show for sure. We are LGBT friendly over here at PHP for
awesome.
Sure.
Yeah, and so I did shows for them, and then eventually I moved into like producing shows for A&E and Discovery.
Oh, nice. For A&E, sweet. Yeah. Like what kind of shows?
We did a documentary on like a big essentially investigative documentaries like on murders, really dark shit.
Oh. I like the dark shit, though.
Yeah,
what was your favorite, most dark shit thing you did?
We did a movie on a murderer named Luca Magnotta, who people in the States might not know, but he's pretty famous in Canada.
See, this is what's cool.
Yeah.
We got, you know, everyone's used to Manson and this and all the wild ones that we, you know, hear in America. And then we see in movies and crazy documentaries. But we definitely, I don't ever remember or know about Canadian ones. So let's break it down.
They're some of the most polite killers you've ever met.
Okay, tell me how that's funny.
Yeah.
Tell me how it goes down.
Well, what for? With
like, give me some examples of some famous guys.
Okay,
like, what did you do? Yeah.
God. Well, the two most famous. I mean, I'm reluctant to say famous. I guess you got to say infamous,
okay.
Right?
Infamous.
Yeah,
that is for sure the word. Infamous.
So one of them's named Paul Bernardo, and he's a real piece of work. He's a horrible person.
And what era or what time period was that?
When it was, I think, the 90s.
Like 90s cat, right?
Yeah. And then,
okay, how old? Or what was the range of killings or what did he do? Was he abducting? Was it a certain type of person? What was the deal?
Yeah, well, he was known as the Scarborough Rapist. Then after that, he kidnapped and murdered two young girls. It's a really dark story. And then he basically went to jail for life. And, you know, I don't get too political, but he should probably stay there the rest of his life. I was mentioning the other guy, Luca Magnotta, who wanted to become famous. So he tried to...
Is he like a copycat type thing or no?
He went on he created thousands of separate profiles for himself on the web and made them look like different people, and all those people were talking about him even though it was really him. So he tried to make himself look really like a famous model. And then
what?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, and then he ended up to become really famous. He kidnapped some dude in Montreal. Well, not kidnapped, invited him back to his place. And then he killed him and chopped him up and filmed the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow. So, wow.
Yeah.
So you did documentaries, you produced, what other stuff did you produce?
Well, those were the main things that I did. I also did some like events and stuff like that. But then when I moved into, basically after the last documentary that I did, I wanted out of TV.
Okay, why?
Oh, it's just, it's a really tough business. You got a lot of people who are...
critique and this and whatever? Or are you about the opinions you're worried about or more like it affected you or no?
It was more that a lot of the money in Canada dried up for making shows.
I got you.
And so essentially I wasn't making enough cash. And,
okay.
And I was like, you know what, if it's this hard to do the business, I need to go to something else.
Okay.
And so I loved weed and
always been a smoker essentially. And speaking about that,
yeah,
on our show, on the Wake and Bake show, we always ask, what is a band that you wake and bake to?
Oh, that's a good question. What band do I probably
give me something that comes to mind.
Prince.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Prince. Because a lot of times when we do these expos on the floor, we can't incorporate music. So we definitely to my brother from another mother. Oh my God, dude. There were so many. I remember, you remember this video though?
Which one? Oh yeah.
Right?
He was the best.
Back in the day, this video was like the shit. Yo, let's smoke a little herb and then we'll get back to this for a second. Little hash for the morning when we wake and bake. It's Vegas. It's like the MJ BizCon. All these people are on the show floor going crazy already.
I've been high for 2 days.
How did you go yesterday?
I got in yesterday.
You got in, and I heard it was insane.
Yes, it's insane.
Like
it's,
there was like 10,000-20,000 people trying to register, right?
Yeah, it was like it was pretty long lineups, and people just were like, it was, from what I've heard. I mean, I got my badge this morning early on purpose.
Cause oh, they were like, seriously?
Yeah.
And you know, they thought today's going to be insane too, or no?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to the floor after this, so yeah. You know.
Text me and let me know how the line is trickling.
You got it.
You know what I'm saying? I think I'm going to try to roll out there, you know, maybe around 2-3 o'clock and catch it just for a couple hours and get like a little bit each day before we do all these interviews because we're like packed.
Yeah.
Packed,
oh yeah.
With, yeah. You know, are you just rolling around to a bunch of people doing business, yeah, as well? Or
yeah, we got lots of meetings today, but then tonight we're going to that party that you mentioned, the High Times party.
Oh, okay, nice. Hell yeah, yeah, sweet.
So we're doing that.
Yeah, Matt,
and then,
shout out to Matt Stang. And
you going
to
be there?
Adam, they're my boys, man. Sweet. I've been High Times all the time for a long time. Yeah, they sent me an invite and stuff.
Amazing.
So I go to all those different events. We do the High Times Cannabis Cups and different stuff. I've got 10 cannabis cups under my belt as well.
So. Awesome. What's the best cannabis cup you never remember?
Oh, shit. I don't know. There's none of them you don't ever remember. That's all. But, I mean, in a sense, because we're always rolling, trying to network and do everything that we got to do for sure.
Yeah.
You know? But let's talk about when you got into cannabis and what started going down.
Sure. Well, so as mentioned, I got out of TV because I wasn't making enough money. And on the side, I had been doing journalism for about 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, like just like, you know, freelance journalism. So
like for what? For example, for different newspapers, this, like for online blog, what kind of stuff are we talking about?
Yeah, like travel magazines. I would write about
travel.
Pot. Like occasionally I'd write about marijuana.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just
nice.
Because I've always been an advocate. So
like... you went to different spots and tried really different good types of weed, or So yeah, you know, so what makes me interested in is like there's so much weed here in the United States, and like all the different strains that I grew up my whole life that I really loved. I was a big fan of the skunk weed.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorites. And then I way back in the day, I remember when it wasn't just about kushes, it was about there was first like Maui Wowie, you remember, you hear that shit.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, the Northern Lights and all the old school hippie guys that had that stuff. And then we started getting like my generation and generation after the THC levels started getting stronger, you know.
Yeah.
So then you started getting the train wreck and you started getting all these different blends. But I remember the skunk being one of my favorites. Skunk number 5, shout out to that, was one of the most crystalliest.
It's awesome.
Lemon pepper, fucking crazy buds. But then a spinoff of that was what became the renamed Green Crack, you know, which is a, which is also like a, you know, a cool strain that a lot of people are right.
Did you like Sour Diesel?
Oh, I am a huge fan of the Diesel.
Oh, yeah?
I am a NYC true Diesel smoking motherfucker. And shout out to all my guys on the East Coast doing their thing. I remember the Grape Ape. Shout out to the Grape. It was my boys that did that. I remember the Shishka Berry, which was the blueberry crossed with the blueberry, I believe, right?
That was amazing.
That was one of my all-time favorites. Super crystally, just smoked and tasted so good. But all these kids, man, they love the Kushes.
Oh, yeah.
The past however many years it's been, it's just been like Kush this, Kush that. It's fucking crazy, right?
It's part of the culture now, absolutely.
And but it also happens because of rap and this and all kinds of things that get affected into, you know, what people's decisions are. But you know, the good thing about Bud is, and all these dispensaries and everything that's going on, is that you're coming through a new era of people being educated with all these different strains and all these different buds. But let's talk about what kind of buds you like and what kind of buds in Canada everybody's smoking and fucking with.
Well, I can only talk from my own experience.
Yeah, from your experience for sure.
I smoke a lot of Super Silver Haze.
Old school Holland.
Yeah.
That's like, was a shout out to the, was it the Bulldog, right? Is a famous hash shop.
Oh, yeah.
Coffee shop in Amsterdam. That won a lot of the original cannabis cups for the Super Silver Haze, right? And then the Super Silver Haze always got crossed with a lot of cool things, and then you had a lot of cool genetics from that.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And then I also Skywalker OG.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's more of an American strain for sure. What else? What else there's popping out there?
Let's see. I mean, I mentioned before blueberry.
Yeah, blueberry's great. I love the. Well, I'm not a big fan of the blueberry just by itself. When when DJ Short double crossed it, you know, and created the different, the DJ Short. Remember, that's another one too.
No,
he was a grower back in the day.
Okay,
who was the main guy that fucked with the blueberry strains?
Awesome.
And shout out to my boy DJ Short out there for everything you're doing, my brother from another mother, and hope everything else is going with you, and that you got lots of great genetics still popping out there for sure. So you start writing about different buds and things. How many years or how long was that going for?
Well, mainly what I did for weedmapsmarijuana.com, I wrote about legalization as it happened across Canada and also internationally. So as countries started legalizing, that's what I'd write about. And
okay.
I did that for 2 years.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, and then essentially at some point, this fabulous group of people approached me from a company called Indiva, which is a licensed cannabis producer in Canada.
How tight is that? And how big is the facility? And when did they get to start popping?
It's a big facility. I mean, we're, you know, comparatively to some of like the huge, huge guys, we're, you know, definitely a smaller player.
How many square foot, just out of curiosity, is the facility, at least grow space?
I would say, let's say, and I don't know the exact numbers, but like 40,000 square feet.
Oh, okay. So 40,000 is a nice size, man. I've been to some 40-50s in Pueblo, Colorado and stuff like that. They broke them up into like 5,000 square foot grow rooms.
Okay.
How did you guys Do you know how did the Invictus do it? Like, how did they, is it, they have just a four big spaces? This, how'd you guys break up?
That's a good question. I don't really know.
Do you even know? You don't know.
Yeah,
huh?
No.
But do you have an idea of how many lights or how much stuff's pumping out of there? Or no,
we have a team of, we have a really great master grower.
What stuff are you growing there?
We're growing, I mentioned
So the stuff you're talking about is what they're growing now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, sweet.
Oh, no, the stuff that I talked about before, you mean?
We were just talking about to talk about, right?
Oh, yeah, no, that was just to talk about.
Let's talk about what Indiva has hitting the legal country of Canada. So if I go and visit, right?
I
want to know what I can fucking smoke from Indiva.
Here's the thing. I don't know.
Going to be smoking.
Well, I am not allowed to. Oh, I don't think I'm allowed to divulge that.
Ooh,
we have our sales license and we're getting ready to sell.
Secret information until it could come out to the public.
Yeah. So we do have, as far as I know, we have like four strains.
Okay.
That's
cool.
That's because I haven't, and
can
I don't know that I'm not.
Do you guys make hash yet in oil or no?
No.
Only pre-rolling
oil
flowers.
We're allowed to make. Only, flour. Pre-rolls, things like that.
Can you take oil? Can you have keef?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I know. I don't know that. I don't know. I know that right now in the stores,
because
you're only,
if you're allowed to do oil, right, and you roll a joint, what we have here in the States is we take the joints and then we take oil.
Yeah.
And we paint it on the joint and then roll it in keef.
Oh, you really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's.
And so I wonder if legally.
Why? Because you want to be in a coma for 3 days?
Oh, no. That's like, that's what's happened when you came to America, bro.
Yeah, man.
Fucking, we're nuts here like that. Yeah?
I couldn't. I got off the plane.
You can't probably go into these stores and be like, how the fuck do they have all this crazy shit? Have you been in any Cali ones?
Yeah. Oh, Cali? No. I actually, a funny story about Cali. I started going into years ago when Cali first started having hash bars.
How much fun was that?
That was the greatest.
And everybody would hang out and smoke each other. You could go buy stuff right there and then go up to a top area or a place where everyone kind of just chills out and hangs out. And And then they banned it, right? It was like,
is that what happened? Did they ban the hash bars?
It got to a point where it like got cut off.
I didn't know. Yeah. I started hitting the hash bars, but I thought they were bud bars.
Well, now it depends on what year. Now that it's wreck up in San Francisco, they have them for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
No, it was well before. For sure.
And they had them back in the day. They had them in the early 2000s when Oaksterdam was first created, essentially.
Yeah. How are they doing?
The school or the area?
The school.
I think, I think they're starting to really kind of make more of a play than they have in a while. I see them.
And what about the area?
I think the area is getting into more of a development stage, than it did when it was in its actually beginnings and stuff.
All right.
So I think that definitely you can see is changing. Are they going to have a lot of smoking lounges and facilities? In
Canada?
In Canada.
They're talking about it now. Every province is different based on where you can smoke.
Okay.
I think lounges are a necessity.
Yeah, because the thing is the biggest problem they're having is in a lot of states is people are now running to these states where it's tourists. They're all running in. They're going to buy their weed. They're going to do all this different stuff. And then where are they going to go smoke it or consume it, right? They're going to go outside. They're going to roll all over the place.
Yeah, right? You couldn't be more right. Exactly.
And then I'm watching state by state go through these problems.
Yeah.
And then it's like, why doesn't the city councils or the people get it?
Right.
Because it's like now all of a sudden, 6 months, a couple years later, people start complaining. I don't like people smoking outside when I'm walking my kids or this or whatever. Why is it all over the place? Because the hotels don't let you or this or all these different things happen that change the game of what's about to go down, right?
Well, this is the bullshit behind prohibition. At the end of the day, you make a rash decision that is a big mistake. And then when you bring it back, you have to basically reintroduce it to every part of society. It's not just bringing back the plant. It's bringing back where can you consume the plant? Where can you grow the plant? It's literally every step of the game, you have to do something else to reintegrate cannabis into society.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's great. And are you excited about it, legal in Canada? Give me your opinion on everything.
Well, I think it's fantastic. It was a messy ride to get here, and there's still a lot that has to be worked out. But at the end of the day, we have legal weed, and it's going to continue to expand. I mean, we're miles behind places like California, for example, but it's coming.
And I heard that the, was it that the, they already that ran out of weed. It was so popular the first week or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the demand was far beyond what anybody could have expected, and the stores basically were running out of weed. You know, even the online stores, everything was empty like a few days in.
Now, do you really think that wasn't going to happen? Because it really happened in every state in the United States. So it was so probable it was going to go down like that.
Oh yeah, no, I knew it was going to happen. Everyone I worked with knew it was going to happen. Everybody on the grow side of the industry knew it was going to happen. The only people that seemingly didn't know it was going to happen was the Canadian government. And I don't know why they didn't. I mean, maybe they did and they just didn't care. But at the end of the day, if you want to...
I mean, let's put it this way. It's a people figured it was probably going to happen. The Canadian government may not know. But let me tell you, it was probably a good shock when they found out it happened like that quickly, huh?
It was amazing. And then, so what this means is they're going to have to either expand the scope of all the growers that exist and also bring in new growers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool, man.
It's great. It's really amazing that I can be part of this point in history. You know, just be alive in Canada for when they did it.
Oh, my God, dude, it is. It's so crazy. And mm-hmm. when did the company you said started in Diva?
A few years ago, actually. I joined the company back in about a year ago.
And who is the founder?
The founder, well, it's a group of people, but our master grower is Pete Young.
All right, so shout out to Pete.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
Now, are you guys hydro, soil? How are you guys on tables? How are you guys growing?
That's a question for him, actually. I know that we've done a few different things, and we're talking about a few different things, but... again, I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about.
I got you. In general.
I wasn't briefed on what I'm allowed to reveal.
Who else?
The company?
Can you talk about who started the company?
Well, so Pete Young, he was an activist for many years.
And an activist for legalization of marijuana?
He started something called the London Compassion Society.
Okay, do you know when he started that?
In the 80s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're talking about a real old school guy in the Canadian cannabis industry.
Yeah, he started by basically on his bike delivering cannabis to medical patients who really needed it.
Wow. Yeah. Shout out to your boy.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And then we got Neil Murata is our CEO. He's awesome.
And what was he or what was his background?
Mainly finance. Like he's involved in a lot of, you know, he's raised a lot of money for
now,
companies.
Now, is he the CEO from the beginning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
Really, really smart dude.
Nice.
And then his partner, then we have Kobe Smutilo and Jen Welsh. We have a fantastic team. Lauren, we have an amazing marketing person, Lauren Tansley. It's a really great team. It's the best job I've ever had.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. And how long have you been doing it with them now?
I've been with them for a year. I started out mainly doing content by handling all the stuff on the website, articles, journalism.
So they're very up on having not only just talking about what they do as a company.
Yeah.
They actually have you writing stories, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Essentially writing stories in other magazines and various
other
places.
Are you writing worldwide issued stories or stories that are just based on Canada?
Both. It really depends on the news of the week.
What's some of the interesting things that you've reported, let's say, in Canada?
Well, the last article I wrote was it talked about how if Canadians really love legalized weed, so bud and oil, they have no idea how much better it's going to get when vape pens and edibles are finally legalized in Canada.
Yeah.
That was the last
now,
article.
Is that something that generally, when you went to the old school shops, they didn't have edibles, or now?
In the last 2 years, there were some dispensaries, illegal or unlicensed
whatever
ones,
you want to call it.
Whatever you want to call
it. They were making edibles for people to have, and... Do you know from that back reporting and stuff, it was very popular or no?
Very.
Very.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Very popular.
Would you say that the edible market, when it is going to hit Canada, will overpower the bud?
I think it's going to be pretty close, basically.
I find a lot of ladies enjoy edibles. Don't
really
necessarily like the method of smoking. I do a lot of people, well, smoking joints comparatively. Like
okay.
Smoking a joint compared to having a vape pen. A lot of people like vape pens because of that discreet,
yeah,
real easy, quick puff puff, go out, vapors into the air. That's why I think a lot of people enjoy the mobility of vapor pens, you know, for that thing.
It's also really easy. Like, you know, I mean, for people that don't roll a joint, like, I'm sure you can roll a joint in your sleep.
You know what? I'm a bong man.
Oh, are you?
I'm down with filtration.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say I'm down with filtration.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, all the pot that I smoke in my life, I'd like to get some of that shit, at least gets up in the water.
I hear you, man.
If you're smoking bud, you know what people don't realize is it's the bud itself, that's the flower, the leaf, that's carcinogenous.
Yes.
It's not the molecules, really, because the molecules, you just have to lightly heat for it to become psychoactive and work. You
right.
know, whether it's oil, right? What are you doing? You're taking a torch, you're taking a heat element to light the area that you're going to drop it in,
mm-hmm.
and then without even a flame, because it's all molecule based, essentially oil or hash, right?
Right.
I see you're getting a little bit of a yawn. I think that means you need another bong hit, probably, right?
It's because this stuff is pretty strong.
It's wake and bake. Got to wake and you got to bake, right? Who else was part of the company though? Give me a shout out. Let me know who else was part of Indiva.
Well, there's lots. There's definitely 30 of us now, and we're in London, Ontario, which is a really great part of Ontario. It's in the west of Toronto, and we just, you know, we grow weed.
And do you enjoy is the Toronto area very burgeoning now with cannabis communities type stuff? Like, I know that it's become legal, but what about in a, has it become more of now there's a lot more social activities?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
like
more
for
out
the
in
people,
the open.
Is there more like stuff for people? Oh, I'm going to come to Canada. I'm not going to just smoke weed. I want to go do some other cannabis friendly type
yeah.
things. Is that stuff emerging?
Like you're talking like cannabis tourism or like
yeah,
just things
whatever.
To do.
And yeah. Like, well, give me some cannabis tourism. Let's talk about what are some things that tourists technically could go do in Canada that would be fall under cannabis tourism.
Okay, well, I mean, there are hotels that cater. I mean, it's just starting now because we just legalized.
Yeah, but give me
like
the lowdown. What people are starting to venture out on.
Okay, so they smoke some weed, and then you can go. For example, like there's lots of stuff. There's like the aquarium. There's a place called Canada's Wonderland where you can go smoke weed and then go on all the roller coasters and rides.
Canada's Wonderland.
Yeah.
Wait. So you can go and
it's like a roller coaster park up
but
north.
But and you can just go. Can you openly smoke?
No.
No. Okay,
you do it and I don't want to tell anyone to go and like just start smoking there. They'll get in trouble. But you find a nice clandestine place where you're not going to be bothered.
Okay.
And you know,
in the park area or in the parking lot
outside the parking lot kind of thing.
So what you're trying to say is where in some theme parks,
yes.
let's say per se, if people smelt that you all smelt kind of like weed, like you get in trouble, right?
Usually, yeah, no, you right? wouldn't there.
So there.
Yeah.
If you kind of like reeked a little bit of a little herby derby.
Yeah,
you know
for
I mean?
Sure.
And
oh, I'm sure.
Like,
I'm sure they get it every day.
We don't give a fuck, right?
Oh, yeah. For sure. So, I mean, that's some cool stuff.
Cool.
I mean, you go to Kensington.
Are they crazy rides or are they just like semi-fun because you're high type rides?
There's a myriad. So there are crazy ones like giant roller coasters and then
okay.
there are the more slower ones like the teacups.
Like the teacups?
Yeah.
So what's the wildest ride that's on there?
There's one called the Leviathan, which is a roller coaster
that goes all over
the park.
Do you remember that movie?
I never saw it. Did you see it?
Oh, fuck yeah, I see that, dude. That was like, I think probably like 90s or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Leviathan was like this deep underwater, like the submerged under the earth or whatever.
Right, right.
Leviathan was like some kind of thing. And then there was like some weird like alien shit that was in the water.
What do you think's the best movie to watch when you're high?
Oh, man. I don't know. There's so many thousands of movies that are out there.
Yeah.
If you think about it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's tough.
I like watching.
I like binging out on lots of shit lately. I'm like a Netflix.
You ever seen the movie Machete? Machete?
The wild Spanish animal.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah, and he's been in four, like so many fucking movies.
Yeah.
Like, he's like the dude you see always in a good like Mexican or Spanish movie.
I just watched Deadpool 2 after smoking, and that was awesome.
Was it?
Oh my god, Ryan Reynolds, that was like amazing.
It was fun.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And do you get to travel much, or are you kind of working a lot from where you're at?
Are you
sampling other people's buds, like competition, and writing about it in Canada now? Or
I definitely sample buds. I don't necessarily write about it specifically, but I do get to travel a lot. I mean, I'm in Vegas now. I was in Montreal last month. I've spent a bunch of time in Costa Rica recently.
How fun is Costa Rica?
It's incredible. It's basically...
So break down the atmosphere, what it's like, what you roll in, what the weather, the fucking water. Tell me about it.
So I roll in and the weather is 32 degrees every day and sunny. Surfers all the time.
Okay, no, you mean Celsius, right?
Sorry, I forgot I was in the States.
That's fucking cold. If you're like, oh, it's 32.
No, 32. I don't know what...
Is that like 70s or something?
It's closer to 90s. Maybe 80s.
Mid-80s or something like that. That's
only cool. No one else uses Fahrenheit.
It's warm.
Yeah, it's really hot. Basically, and there's beaches everywhere, and you know, I mean, you can get
so the United States is the only country in the world that actually uses.
As far as I know, you guys have clung to that, and you also, I mean, you also have shunned the metric system for like why I don't know. I mean, you know, it's long gallons and all those things are long gone, but at the same time, I mean, you cling to it, like white on rice.
So what do they do? Okay, so gallon, right?
Yeah.
So when you go get a milk, what does it say on your thing?
Like a liter. You know.
Oh, okay. It just says how many liters it is total.
Right, exactly. So a liter, and then you know, like then we measure things in grams, for example, and pounds don't really. You don't do pounds. You do like,
kilo.
Yeah, kilos. Very good. That's right. Yeah.
Is there a reason you think why it's broken down even more? Is that to more be for an economic purpose or no?
You mean like in terms of why we have the metric system?
No, why someone. Because a pound, a kilo is 2.5 pounds, right? Or something like that. So
you're going to make me do math on hash.
You're getting more weight.
Yeah, exactly.
So for the money, essentially. So that's what I'm wondering is when you convert it like that, what's the difference?
That's a good question. I have no idea. Did you probably learn the metric system through measuring grams, right?
That's pretty much the way I would do it and stuff back in the day. But it gets confusing because nobody else in America would be like, kilos is like not, when it comes to bud, like nobody, everyone just does it in pounds essentially.
Well, it's funny because I know that I've heard grams, but then someone will whip out an ounce and I'll be like, that's, as far as I know, that's not metric. Is an ounce metric? Oh, maybe it is
32 grams is or 28.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
there's a difference. It's 28 for weed but 32 for water or something. I don't even know.
It's
fucking funny shit.
Yeah.
So you got any shout outs, any friends or family out there that you want to say what's up?
Yeah, well, I want to say hi to everybody in Canada, I want to say, of course, hi to everybody at Indiva, and that's pretty much it.
Hell yeah, my brother. What's the website?
Oh, website is indiva.com. And I should probably also mention that I just had a book published.
Oh, yeah.
How
could you not? How could you come and tell me all this stuff about yourself and not even mention a book?
Well, let's
talk about the book.
Okay. Yeah. So the book is called The Wild West, Canada's Legalization of Marijuana. And it talks about everything from when Prohibition first started back in 1923, and it takes us all the way through to the last 4 years when we finally reintegrated the plant.
Wow.
And it talks about all the stuff the government did, the gray market, the police.
I love it,
and
dude.
It's my own experiences.
How many is it? pretty lengthy page-wise, or?
That's about 100 pages.
Can you do a little Amazon Kindle or anything?
Yeah.
How do people get it?
Amazon.
Amazon.
On print and on Kindle on Amazon.
Sweet. If people order it and on Amazon in the notes, they say they heard it from Purple Haze Radio, will you autograph it?
100%.
You guys hear that out there? Go on Amazon, check out his book. Again, give a title to all my stoners out there.
Yeah. Oh, the title is The Wild West, Canada's Legalization of Marijuana.
The Wild West. I love it. You guys are like claiming the cowboy era right there. And then you got the, we call, you know, and then everybody calls the Green Rush and
yeah.
everything. It's funny because it truthfully is an industry where so many people, and especially at this show, there's thousands of booths and almost 25,000 people attending looking to get into cannabis.
Yeah.
Whether we interviewed a guy with coupons or security or genotyping or banking or it's
everything.
Really, it's kind of mind blowing, right?
Yeah, it incorporates
all
society.
Was there something that you seen where you were like, wow, I'm kind of surprised? Or did you see that at this show that there's actually people who are getting a very strong realization when they spent so much money for their booze and this and that, and they think they're like a came up with the newest thing, and then all of a sudden they see 50 booths.
Oh, well, I hope not, but I hear you.
No, but you got to think about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that think that they
got the idea
on something and not an idea.
Oh, yeah.
And then they come to the show and they spend all this dough. They thought they got it. And then all of a sudden they realize, oh, shit.
It's a rude awakening. Absolutely.
Oh, motherfucking shit.
And then you have to tweak your idea to somehow make it.
Oh, absolutely. Because now you're fighting in a market that it's really and truly fucking competitive, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's really, I mean, for sure. And that's, if you have an idea, that's what you're going to see
and
here.
And brand recognition. So how many, are there a lot of growers in Canada or no?
There's now definitely over 100
okay.
and more coming.
Over 100 for the whole country. But
for
that's not even a lot.
It's not.
For
but
what is
you,
the population of Canada? Do
it's
you have
basically
any idea?
The population of California. It's like 35 million. So we
okay.
don't have a lot of people.
Okay.
So 100
no,
growers.
But
yeah.
But that's still, you know what I mean? And for tourists.
Oh, yeah.
That probably isn't even enough.
It's not enough. We need way more.
Wow.
And
then what about, did they separate processing?
Well, there's various ways
you
can
have
do
to,
it.
Like, can you get full integrated licenses in California? Could you get, like...
In Canada, you mean? Yeah.
I mean, Canada.
Yeah.
Like, cultivation, distribution, processing,
delivery,
whatever. Is it, like, all...
Yeah, you could...
And then in your grow facility, do you have to have, like in Colorado, they make you separate the medical weed you grow
right.
from the
stuff rec.
From the rec.
Yeah.
Is that the same in Canada?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have no idea if we have to separate it. That would be a question for our master grower.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So maybe one time we'll have to throw him on.
He would love to, I'm sure.
He didn't come down to the show, did he?
He's here.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I would have told you to bring him on today then, for sure.
We could talk after.
But
yeah,
let's see if he wants to come on.
Yeah.
But I would have had him come on too with you.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would have been smart. We should have thought about that because we're such fucking stoners. We could have, I didn't forget to tell them, hey, we have a few other mics. We could have had all the guys that are here from Indiva jump on. But yeah, we'll have him do a little special appearance at some time before we leave this show, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
When do you guys leave?
We're going to be rolling out on Saturday. So
Saturday.
We got plenty of time for doing some more interviews and making sure everything's popping. And we got a full schedule packed with all kinds of people that that booked us to come and tell us all about the different things that are going on in the industry. And I do appreciate you coming down from Canada to come to Purple Haze Radio, and for all the listeners out there all over the world to know you can't just come to the U.S. and get some weed to try if you're a tourist. You can go to Canada and give some love to that big fucking wonderful country that made the gauntlet drop and is now making a lot of other countries, because then you guys did it. And then what happened? Mexico all of a sudden is like, yo, 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 yo,
yeah.
yo, yo. And then what happens? America is now in a cannabis sandwich.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't get away from it.
Can't get away from it.
That's right.
I hope you enjoy the show, bro.
Thank you.
And definitely look forward to when I come to Canada trying Indiva's products.
You have an open invitation.
Back. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I'm coming to Toronto. As a matter of fact, I will be in Toronto in May for the Cannabis Summit.
Oh, you're coming for that.
For Toronto. I'll be speaking at there and exhibiting, and Purple Haze Radio will be there to interview all your guys and everybody.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. We'll all be there.
We're gonna have the best time. I'm gonna come down. We're gonna fucking hang.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try all the strains. We're gonna work it all out for sure.
Amazing.
Thank you, bro, man.
Thank you.
Have a great and wonderful trip back to Canada and enjoy the show. And let's go do continue on our Wake and Bake journey before I got my next guest coming on. All right, my bro?
Yeah, you got it.
All right, cool.
Thanks.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.